You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Well, if at all you feel like a scarecrow outstanding in your field, well, don't fret, don't worry. You gotta concentrate on your landing. You gotta make sure you bounce and fix your hair before standing. Make sure.
This is Sarah Mary Chadwick with Drinking on a Tuesday, which comes from her album Messages to God, her eighth solo studio album, which is amazing. Sarah Mary Chadwick, of course, from Bat Rider, really, really legendary band, from Aotearoa, but currently based over in Nam and has been based over in Melbourne for quite some time now. This album is out on Kill Rock Stars, which is a great American-based indie label that puts some really cool music out there. And I was lucky to chat to Sarah about the project, how she feels having it out in the world, and a little bit about how it came to be. Let's have a listen. Let's talk about your wonderful record, Sarah. This is an incredible album. It's been getting a lot of international notice. I've seen lots of cool write-ups in music magazines and a lot of people talking about it online, and it also looks like something that you've had a lot of your community really respond to as well. How do you feel about having Messages to God out in the world?
I guess because I'm on Kill Rock Stars now, which is like the first record that I've done with them, and they are American based and probably maybe more so than other American labels that have released stuff through before, have a bit more kind of reach. And so I think that's probably why, if it's been getting a bit more attention kind of overseas, then that, I think that would be why. It's a hard one because I feel like, I was just thinking about it when I was just getting ready before, and like a record like that for someone like me, when it's, you know, I'm not someone that works with, you know, millions of other songwriters or, you know, a huge number of other contributors or musicians. And obviously I do a lot of art myself, and, you know, and I think, like, emotionally I put, like, a lot into it. Like, it's kind of difficult to, like, it would be difficult for me to kind of get back what I feel like I've put it in, if that makes sense.
Totally.
But, it's always, obviously, like, you never want to put something out and feel like it doesn't get any attention at all, because that kind of, I mean, you know, you have to kind of want that to even bother to put it out in the first place, kind of thing. But it is a difficult one, because I think, you know, for someone like me, it kind of, like, the kind of level that I am, and it's the kind of, you know, that's my, I think it's like my eighth, like, solo record. And so, you know, at this stage I'm kind of, I definitely feel like I've put a lot in, and so it definitely, like, it's nice to see that it gets some attention, because it kind of, yeah, I think that I would be kind of depressed if it didn't at this point.
Yeah, absolutely fair enough. I think also it is a really brilliant record, and it really resonates with people. That's the conversations I've certainly been having about this album, is you're very good, Sarah, at getting to the quick of big feelings, and that's something you've never shied away from in your writing. But dare I say there's a bit more of, like, perhaps a hopeful outlook on this album. Is that something that you found when you were writing it?
It's So I think my previous three records especially were kind of after like deaths and things like that. So obviously, like I've kind of spoken about this before, that they're obviously very centered around that kind of thing. So I think kind of anything coming off the back of that would probably maybe have a bit of like levity to it. But also I think in terms of what was I aware of it when I was writing it, not really probably consciously, but then I think so the I worked for the first time on this record, in saying that I don't usually work with you know, lots of people, I did actually work with someone quite closely on this record, a producer, Tony Espy, who did I guess like most notably kind of like the Avalanches and all of their stuff. And he is a very nice and very enthusiastic and very kind of has a lot of, like, he's a very jovial person. And I think that he brought a lot of that kind of lightness to it as well, which I think is something that's always kind of, it always is there a little bit, but I think that he was really concerned with kind of, he kept using the word augmenting things that he felt were already in the songs. And so I think that, so he kind of pulled that out a lot more than what I would normally be able to do with my own kind of production ideas and things like that.
When I was very lucky to catch you when I was on my holidays in Melbourne and I got to see your gig, which was really special, you had two performers with you on stage, and the dynamic between the three of you felt really special as well. Could you talk a wee bit about some of the other, I guess, music people around your life who've kind of contributed to this world?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you saw us play, I was playing with... so Hank Clifton Williamson is a very close friend of mine, who I kind of met, I guess, through music, but we also worked together kind of after that as well. And he played a lot, or he played all of the flute on the actual record. And the other person that I played with was Isabel de Cruz, and so she has her own kind of solo music. She plays, her own group is called Hantu, but she also plays with my husband a bit, Simon J. Harris, and so they kind of do, but also Hank and Isabel, they're just they're kind of super trained music, I mean you can probably tell from watching them, but they've got like they've got that kind of really skilled technical sensibility, but they're both also really, and I think what I find playing with people like those two is that maybe what part of the training is they listen really well and they kind of pay a lot of attention and they kind of know when and how to sit parts out. And I think that might come a lot from like playing in an orchestra. You know, if you played in an orchestra, that you could potentially play a whole piece and only play for a tiny, tiny bit. And I kind of feel that in them, like their kind of confidence level is such that they can be really tasteful about their choices. But yeah, I just love them both. They're both really kind of two of my closest friends, and it's always, I feel very spoiled getting to play with them because obviously they're at like such a kind of high level and they're such lovely people, so it makes me happy.
I remember, Sarah, did you do a residency at a pub a while ago, do some piano residencies? That's an interesting thing coming from New Zealand because we don't really have the ability to do those residency type things. Was that quite an interesting experience for you?
Yeah, so that was, I mean, they don't really, to the extent that I did it, they don't, I mean, unless you're like working in like a, I don't know, a hotel or something, they don't really do like, I think what I did is quite unusual here as well, but I'd always wanted to do it because, I don't know, just the idea of being a working musician's always been really appealing to me, and I love playing, like that's kind of, you know, my enthusiasm for certain parts of music kind of, you know, and a lot of that's the kind of peripheral stuff definitely goes in and out over the, you know, in different periods of time. But always performing's always been something that I have really loved. And so, yeah, so I guess it was, look, so I'd always wanted to do it and I'd approached various venues about doing it. But then for a small period of time, my husband was part owner of a bar in Fitzroy. And so basically that was how I got to do it.
Fantastic. So, that's the way to do it.
So when he got the like we got together kind of just before he was part of the bar, and so I kind of said to him, well, you know, can I I've always wanted to do this, and he's like, oh, you could probably do that. And I was like, yes. And so then so yeah, I tried to play every week, but then obviously with Melbourne and COVID, but I still think I ended up doing like maybe, I think just, I don't really know how it happened, but I think just around lockdowns, and I think maybe because it was the big in the middle of the week, we did it on a Wednesday night. I still managed to do, I think maybe around in just over a year, maybe like about 40.
Wow.
But yeah, it was great. So it was like, and so a lot of those songs that you saw me play were songs that I kind of had the, I guess, was a bit of a extra thing to be able to play them in. But that's even kind of, so it speaks to kind of Isabel, who you saw me play with, because so I did all those residencies with Hank. And Hank, like, so it was kind of, we did them all as a duo, and he so he and I have obviously played together probably, like, including other things, probably about 150 times. But then Isabel, that show that you saw, she'd done one show, and she'd probably done, I reckon we did maybe 4 rehearsals or 5 rehearsals.
Wow.
And yeah, so that's like, I guess, just a credit to, like, but also Hank's the same. Like, Hank could have done that, whether he'd done probably almost on 0 rehearsals. Like, yeah.
Sometimes I wanna forget that I'm broken by concentrating on your shortcomings.
I was wondering about that residency because there was something that felt, in the absolute best way possible, almost cabaret about some moments and the way it was. Like the kind of closeness of it and the intimacy of the performance reminded me of that kind of setting that you usually get in this, at least idealised idea of like a smoky bar with piano in the background. And I wondered about how that residency had maybe fed into how you're feeling about performing at the moment, especially like trying to do it in and out of the weird intensity of the last few years. It feels like maybe a nice bright point amongst all the strangeness.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's always been my kind of fantasy. I think when I was younger, when I was like a teenager, I always wanted to be like a pianist in a hotel lobby kind of vibe. But you know, I definitely, that's kind of always, that kind of scene is always kind of front and center for me. Like, we always try to do cabaret setting at the residency with candles and things. And like so I recorded a new record down at Mona and Tasmania at the studio they have there maybe a month ago now, and that record is very much like, it's called, I think, like, working title, but I think it's going to be called Take Me Out to a Bar. And it's very like, that's kind of the whole concept behind it, is like a, you know, like a pianist, because I've always wanted to do a background record and I have never succeeded. And I think this record I've got as close to it as I think that I have yet.
Oh, that's exciting.
So yeah, someone tinkling away in the background and people kind of maybe, you know, not necessarily paying entire attention and able to kind of zone in and zone out as they like and things like that.
Oh, that'll be really interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing that. One thing I wanted to ask you about Messages to God was not just because it says New Zealand in it, which is a very New Zealand thing to do, but I felt things in New Zealand as such a emotionally stunning track, and I wondered for you where that came in the process of making this album, because it feels quite quite like an anchor point or a hinge point or something for some of the ideas in this record.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say that, because I think that that was one of the couple of songs that I actually wrote a few years ago, so it would have been like, it's about the last time that I saw my father, so that would have been, yeah, I think I probably wrote it maybe before, when I was writing the Please Daddy songs, maybe, or maybe before that. But yeah, so that's funny that that's the anchor, or seems like it, because, yeah, it's kind of a little bit out of context in terms of the time period. But I think that, yeah, it was just kind of about, like, it had a place on this record, and because I write so much, I think when there are moments like that where I feel like I can, because I'm always bending songs basically and not able to, you know, because I can never use everything that I write, and so there's always a lot of kind of pretty brutal editing choices made. And so I think that if there is an opportunity for me to use something that I haven't been able to kind of crowbar in somewhere, then I like to take it, and that was definitely one of those.
That's so interesting, because it does feel, or maybe it's like a precursor or something, like a foreshadowing of the vibe that was to come with this record or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times, like, I always say that I write autobiographically in terms of what is going on in my life, but then even in saying that, you know, like, and even in terms of growing older, I'm always very much the same person. And that's why, like, even when I had that, we had a Bat Rider show here for the first time in forever. When would it have been? In maybe June? I've lost track of this year. And that was like playing songs that, you know, obviously were written when I was 25, and that was still, you know, felt good, and felt, like, there was a couple of cringe moments, but overall I was, like, pretty happy with it.
I think it's good to keep a bit of cringe, you know. We've all got to remember we're cringe at the end of the day.
It's true.
And just tell me we're fine. And just tell me we're
That was Sarah Mary Chadwick speaking with me about her brilliant new album, Messages to God, which is out now via Kill Rock Stars. This is an album of the year for me, and also a gig of the year. Very lucky to have caught Sarah when I was on my holidays over in Melbourne. I hope she brings that show to Auckland, because it was extremely powerful. And yeah, really beautiful record. We're going to listen to I Felt Things in New Zealand, which is the track we were just talking about there. You're on BFM Breakfast. I hope you're having a nice morning. Thanks for your messages.
Well, my love has a limit. It ends before I feel it. And thrown out of the thicket, my bubble you cried and let my father down. I drove away, was that goodbye? I sat and had another one, 'cause I felt things in New Zealand that were real. And it smelled like home, my heart was and by comparison, right now I'm free.
Sarah Mary Chadwick with I Felt Things in New Zealand from Messages to God. Thank you for your texts on 5395. It's nice to hear from you. Someone said her show at the Town Hall in between lockdowns was so moving. Good to see the pipe organ being used. Love Sarah Mary Chadwick. Me too. That was a really special show. And I think probably the heightened hecticness of it being between, I think it was it at the end of 2020 maybe? It was in between the lockdowns anyway, and it felt like a very raw emotional time, and to hear Sarah's amazing ragged voice over the organ was quite spectacular. So yes, if Sarah brings this show to New Zealand, snap up tickets ASAP, because that will be a very special one indeed. If you missed any of that chat and you want to listen back, it'll be in the B-casts after the show.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.